All right, good morning for the few of you in the room here with us. This is an in-person meeting. I'm excited to talk to you. It's right in my eyes. This is an in-person meeting. I want to start by saying you're simply using the bat phone, if you will, to record this proceeding. However, this was solely in an in-person opportunity to receive feedback on the proposed Arizona Administrative Code changes. Good morning. My name is Frank McGalley. I'm the Executive Director of the Consolidated Arizona Barbering and Cosmetology Board. As a friendly reminder, that board was consolidated beginning of effective January 1st of 2022, and I started in April of 2022. So I've been here next week. It'll be 19 months. Today, we are here to just have the official oral proceedings for the proposed Arizona Administrative Code changes. With me today is our compliance administrator. With us today is our compliance administrator, Rosa Rodriguez.
Hello.
Our executive staff assistant, Heather Santabria. And our deputy director, Kelly Shepherd. So deputy director Shepherd will be driving the oral proceedings this morning. And with that, I will turn it over to her.
Okay. So as Frank mentioned, the recording is just to make sure that we capture your oral comments correctly. So I do have a couple of opening comments for you. So as Frank mentioned, I will say that the majority of these changes for our Arizona Administrative Code, also known as our rule, was really due to the consolidation of the two boards. So we were trying to make things as similar as possible. So that's why there was really more changes in these proposed rule changes than perhaps than what's been in the past. So I have a few opening comments. We have received a lot of comments around the new eyelash registration that's needed to happen for an eyelash certificate requiring 30 hours of board approved training in order to be able to do eyelashes in the future. Happy to hear comments, but I do want to let everybody know that was the House Bill 2550 that passed through the legislature last year. That was actually approved on April 23rd of 2023. We cannot change that. That legislation is already a done deal. So again, if you're coming to make comments about the eyelash registration, maybe you don't like it. Maybe you think there should be more hours of training, less hours of training, or whatever. We can hear those comments, but they don't have anything to do with our rule. So I just want to make sure you guys understand that. We've received a lot of comments that were kind of like, we can't do anything about this. This has already been passed. I always encourage people, the Arizona Regulatory Committee in legislation is who passes these bills. So if you're ever interested or have input into the legislation, I would encourage you to watch legislative proceedings as they're happening through the regulatory committee, because that's who makes this legislation. We will be proposing some statute changes to the legislation this next year. Again, mostly just to combine and make things similar in our statute, because we have different statutes for cosmetology and different statutes for barbering. We will let people know when that's going through. And again, even the legislature has public comment time for you to put comments into the bills that are being passed. Very quickly, if you're not familiar with this, I got to tell you, I wasn't until I joined this board. I've worked for nonprofits. I've worked in healthcare. I worked at DES. I was not as familiar with statutes and Arizona Administrative Code. So statutes are really laws, legislation that gets passed through the legislature. We do not determine statutes. We recommend to them. We get a legislative sponsor. Quite honestly, there's usually a lobbyist that has something to say about this, and the legislature decides. Those are our overarching, here's the big things your board has to do. As board staff, we then come up with these Arizona Administrative Codes, and statutes are purposely kind of vague. And then the Arizona Administrative Code is what gives the detail. So they might say something like, you need to fill out an application in order to be licensed and pay a prescribed fee. The Arizona Administrative Code will say, here's what's on that application that we need to receive, here's what the fee is going to be, and all of that kind of stuff. So just a general understanding between statute and Arizona Administrative Code. Okay. During the oral proceedings, this is part of, so just to kind of give you a quick overview of Arizona Administrative Code, we kind of come up with this, and then we give this to the Secretary of State, the Arizona Secretary of State, who posts the notice of rules, a proposed rule. We have an oral proceeding to receive comments. I'll go to the next one right now.
I'm sorry, I just want to add to that. There's the draft regulations are also vetted by the board.
Right.
So this isn't just staff making something up and then taking it before the public and driving it through the Secretary of State's office and the Governor's Regulatory Review Council. It is first vetted by the board. The board sets the vision. We write the proposed language, they review, and they approved this in August, I believe, if I remember correctly, in the August board meeting. So again, it's not, it wasn't solely staff driven. There has been, it has been vetted through the board process as well.
Thank you. It goes to the Secretary of State, who posts these proposed rules. We have the oral proceeding. We are required to address any written comments. So we do have in the back, we encourage you to write down your comments. We have some paper in the back for you to do that. And then it doesn't necessarily mean things are changed, but we will address all written comments. Then there'll be a notice of final rule. I'll get to that slide in a second, but I'll explain that process to you. Okay. So written comments are encouraged. We're asking, we didn't know how many people were going to show up. We were asking about 5 minutes per person. If you go over that, we're not going to cut you off. But we will not be responding to comments at this meeting, just FYI. So we're here to hear your comments about our proposed rule changes. And then we are just recording to make sure that it's active.
I don't have comments. What a lot of questions, so am I not in the right place then?
We won't be addressing any questions today. Yeah, so you can go to our website, which is BCB, Barbering Cosmetology Board, as AD.gov. We have a public inbox where you're welcome to email us with any questions. And we usually get back to our email responses within 3 business days or less.
Now, I will add to that, though, we may or may not be able to address your questions in that forum either. So I think it depends on what. So if you have feedback about the proposed regulations, then we can take that feedback. But the questions about implementation would come after we've gone through the process and it's been approved, which she's going to get to in the next slide. It has to go. So now there's still a lengthy process ahead of us before these get approved and implemented. So I'm assuming that you probably have implementation questions because we do seem to have a lot of those at this point. And we're not at the place where we can necessarily, I think we have some idea, but we are still working through the implementation process. This is one step in that implementation process, but early. It's an early step compared to that implementation piece that's not likely to be until March or maybe April.
Okay. So to that point, I just wanted to do an overview of this process again, because nothing I was familiar with before I joined the board and how rules and statutes and laws are made in Arizona. So we did do our notice of docket opening. We filed that with the Secretary of State on August 3rd. The notice of proposed rulemaking went on the Arizona Secretary of State website. Hopefully that's the document that you've looked at, reviewed to see what our proposed changes are. This is our public comment period. So we've had a public comment period. People have written into our board. We've accepted those public comments. That ends, I was thinking it was Monday. It's fine. We'll take comments through the 31st. Oral proceedings are today. So after today, we will take all those written comments. Again, we have to address written comments. For those of you who maybe came a little bit late, we have an opportunity for you to write them down. Okay. But we will take those, put those into our document. if there's any changes, what our changes are, and then we'll do that notice of final rules. This actually has to go to the governor's office. And then the governor's office has a regulatory review council. So first we have to go to the governor's office. They say, yes, this seems ready to go. We're going to send it to our regulatory review council. Then we go before that council and address any questions they have of us. They may say, this doesn't fit with other laws or statutes. We don't like this, whatever, right? And then we get all that feedback from them. Once they pass it, once they say, we're good with your Arizona administrative code, then it goes back to the Arizona Secretary of State, and they have up to 60 days to then get that posted. Once it's posted, those rules are in effect. So to Frank's point, how are we going to implement, again, eyelash registration? It's kind of like what we're getting the most questions about. We don't fully have the answer yet because we don't have the answers from the Governor's Regulatory Review Committee. We have to wait until we get their feedback. So that's the only reason we're not putting out a lot of information yet. I will say we do have an entire slide on our website, and we will be posting all of that information. And when that goes into effect, we will even be emailing all of our licensees so people are clear of what that is. We want to be proactive in our communication. So we don't want it to be a surprise for anybody, right, of when that's happened. After legislation passed from the legislature, from the Capitol, we do have 90 days where that has to be implemented. So technically, this is in effect. We've checked with our assistant attorney general, but he's like, the implementation piece doesn't come until the rules are passed. So some people have been like, wait, October, October, October. I thought we were doing this in October. Yes and no. So nobody's going to be in trouble for anything until we get these rules passed. Okay. So just quick explanation about that. All right. So with that, we are here. We're going to kind of call you in order that you've signed in. For any oral comments that you have. Again, we didn't know how many people were going to show up, so we're like 1 minute to about 5 minutes. Again, we're not going to cut you off. You're welcome to comment on something that somebody's already commented on, but literally we're saying, okay, here's an issue, here's an issue, here's an issue. That's what we have to address. If you have additional comments that they didn't address, it's the same topic, please come forward. If you feel like it's been your same concern has been addressed, you don't have to come forward. We're not going to stop you. And then if for some reason you think of anything after the meeting, we are still accepting comments through our website, and you can put those into our inbox and we will address those. Okay, so if leave here today, 2 hours later, you're like, I should have said this. There's still time.
Till the end of the day on Tuesday.
Yep.
All right. So with that, I think we will just go in order that we have folks on the sign-in sheets here. And I have Brian McHugh first.
I hate when that happens.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Brian McHugh. On the Academy of Nanotechnology. I purchased a school in 1999. Been there for 24 years. I'm a licensed nail and tech. I'm a licensed nail instructor. I have a couple of questions on the rule making. I was part of the rule making that happened in the year 2000, right after I bought the school, which changed the hours for nail technology from 300 hours to 600 hours. In an effort to improve public safety, what's the legislation that was written? 300 hours to improve public safety was added to nail technology. Seems now there's a move to eliminate restrictions to getting into the market. The market is addressing a lot of unlicensed professionals wantonly, and I know there won't be any clarification, but there seems to be whether these are under the board's umbrella of teaching these people out or practicing without a license, or are they outside the scope of law so they're free to go? Yet somebody has a license which has lapsed, they're ones of the board, even though they're practicing without a license. I don't know the difference of somebody went to school, let their license lapse for a fee versus somebody who just practices, said, what are you going to do about it? I do want to point out in the law, just four nail things, and then I'll just address briefly the last chapter. Number one, there is a change in the amount of hours. It is R410, I believe. Let me get it here. And as we all know, reading this, which is part of the last act, a lesson in law, is daunting. And with the cross outs and the adds and the changes and the barbering section 801 version, it's a craziness. Not a craziness. I was in the seatbelt business and I had to read a lot of legislation trying to put seatbelts on school buses. So I read all the federal minutes and I'm getting better at it, but it's quite daunting. Simply it said, the law seeks to limit the amount of hours a student may attend school to 8 hours per day. The present law says 56 hours per week. We have students traveling great distances, Payson to Phoenix, Tucson to Phoenix. Nail schools are a limited commodity for a number of reasons I could speak to. Don't think we want to eliminate the nail-only program. There's only 40 licensed nail instructors in the entire state. Difficult to create them. So to limit an individual's ability to attend school to 8 hours a day for a 600-hour program really restricts their ability to pursue this livelihood. The current law says 56 hours a week. So if somebody wishes to do a double session, like working a 12-hour day, don't feel that's a proper change. The goal is to help people pursue a fake career. And so that's noted in the law. I'll find the section. I have written this.
I'm sorry, I was going to say, we have received your, that too, and we have received that.
I'm receiving a, thank you for your comments. Just wanted to jump to the meeting and make sure, and you know, in a sincere plea that somebody's really looking and say, wait a minute, yeah, okay, that's in there. Number two, there is a, in the efforts to get somebody licensed as a instructor, the current training is 350 hours. It specifies that somebody must be licensed and hold a license for a year. It also allows the transfer of college credits. Not so specific in R410, what was 302 and is now 307. But it said that if they completed a course, actually it is pretty clear, the curriculum hours under A2 by completing a course at an accredited college, which would be all educational related, not practical related, not doing hair, not doing aesthetics, not doing nail, but the psychology of learning, developing and using educational aids, diversity and learning, such and such, all of the things required to get your teaching certificate. There's an assumed underlying knowledge of theory and practical regarding safety, infection, chemistry, and other. But then in B, it allows the transfer of 9 credit hours toward a barbering instructor, cosmo instructor, hairstyling instructor, aesthetic instructor, but only then in 2, 6 hours toward a nailing technology. There's no difference. Why are you limiting a nail tech instructor to this transfer of college credits? They should be, I would recommend it.
And we have that written comment from you as well, Brian.
lastly, in the current law, R410-207, what is now R410-B304 on page 1843 of the standards for the proposed rulemaking, there was a following section, 208, in the current law. It seems to have disappeared. A very important section. It dealt with the transfer of hours from one discipline to another. aesthetic to nail, nail to Cosmo, Cosmo to anything. It also dealt with virtual training, remote hours. I can't find it anywhere. It seems to have disappeared from the law, which would create a lot of confusion. So it was R410. 208 in this current law is gone. Two more comments. As it relates to last course and a qualified instructor on the board's posting, it does say, it's abbreviation, that a program would require a qualified instructor who is a board licensed cosmetologist or esthetician or a board registered eyelash technician. I did write the comment that said, what about a qualified instructor already? What about an aesthetic instructor, Cosmo instructor? What about nail tech instructor? You know, they're not doing lashes. They know all of the theory, and we could learn lashes, I think, in a reasonable period of time, such that we could teach the course equal or as good as these other listed parties who don't have the background on science behind it, the safety, which is the board's initiative. But then it does seem to clarify on the new rulemaking under R410.307B, R410B307, the requirements. It does seem to specify, and I just wanted to ask for clarity. I had not written this one in. The person responsible for an eyelash technician training program shall ensure that the instructor in charge of the training program is qualified. An instructor in charge is qualified if the instructor in charge, one, is a cosmetologist or esthetician licensed by the board prior to today, an eyelash technician registered to the board, hasn't been created yet. Number two, so it seems to be one must be present, two, provides a notarized letter from an individual licensed or registered by the board who has personal knowledge of the instructor's work and can verify that the instructor has practiced as an eyelash technician for at least 30 hours a week for 2 years. That would be a second requirement. And thirdly, provides a statement whether the instructor has ever had an aesthetics, cosmetology, hairstyling, nail technology, or instructor license or eyelash technology registration suspended. I got hope for a moment that seemed to say, oh, you're including instructors, but it just says, have you ever been banned as an instructor? But it seems to exclude all present instructors. It doesn't quite make sense. Opening up to lay people to teach the safety and eliminating all regulated instruction. I was close with, back in 2000, I got a good lesson in statute versus rule versus code. The headlines in the newspaper prior to the texting and everything were, manicures get nailed. And in the law, in the promulgation of rule, when there's a revenue bill of any sort, if there's any change in value, I started reading the House bill, seems that all the dollar amounts remain the same. I think in some of the proposed rulemaking, amounts may change. I saw, and I think it's a good change, they propose that if it can, any licensed individual under our scope of practice allows their license to lapse more than 5 years. If presently it's 10 years, if you let your license lapse, pay a fee and get your license back. The new rule says that if you are 5 years delinquent, you must pay the fee and take the test again. I think that's a fair, you're out of the game for 5 years, you need to retest, you need to reestablish yourself. But whether a change such as that or any rulemaking with value upon signature of the governor, there is no grace period. It goes into effect on signature. And it happened in 2001. We had students enrolled who were in a 300-hour nail program. They could never fix it. Everybody was trapped now at 600. We had people graduating that week who were told, no, the law says 6. We thought there'd be a grandfather. We thought there'd be time to implement it. Any revenue change becomes effective on signature of the governor. in case they miss that again. Senator Bennett was very familiar with this. He tried to fix it, House special sessions. It was a mess.
So thank you, Brian. I obviously not, as we said, we're not going to respond to the specific regulatory items that you referenced. All very good. And I think you have encapsulated like three of the four that you shared in email. So if you want the fourth one, please make sure you get that email sent in. I do want to address the concern at the beginning because it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the regulation about unlicensed individuals performing services. I want to clarify, they are breaking the law. It's a jurisdictional problem. This board doesn't have jurisdiction to issue discipline on those individuals, but they can be referred to the county attorney general's, the county attorney's office for pursuing a criminal violation of state statute. So it's not, I want to be clear that they are in fact breaking the law. It's where, but the distinction is what we have the ability to enforce versus the criminal. We're not criminal, right? And that's criminal. So those have to be referred to the county attorney's office for investigation and subsequent filing of charges if they determine that that individual is in fact breaking the law.
Thank you very much. If I may, just sharing, I understand it, I believe. I think it is a growing phenomena that our state's going to have to deal with, that probably the country needs to deal with. People are coming to school somewhat out of fear because they're not sure what would happen. I don't know that the district attorney, maybe we should start petitioning that office to say you need to begin to regulate this if our goal is to keep the public safe. Home salons, growing phenomena since COVID, can't be at one, you know, it's not, you allow home salons, the board allows home salons and clearly specifies follow these rules. They're trying to obtain a copy of the salon license form. I can't get it electronically because you have to pay like you're going to process it. And I requested it, but they said it's electronic. Well, I just want a paper copy of the electronic form because I believe in the form it says you must meet all zoning. Well, zoning says no home salons. City of Phoenix, Surprise, Glendale, there are no home salons according to zoning. But we're not issuing. If they check, yes, I am, they're not correct. During COVID, Tempe temporarily allowed home salons. I don't know if they ever rescinded that. But home salons are a growing phenomenon. Long license, nail tech, lash techs. Ageless, I'm sure everybody, but I don't think the rest of the our compadres over there at the Attorney General, I don't think they're looking for any nail techs, but boy, it's growing. I mean, it's a lot. So the ones who are coming to school, let's kind of as a group, Aesthetic, Cosmo, give them a hand to get through this process and not block them while we're saying to the unlicensed, let the other part of our justice system deal with them, and they're not at all. We know that because otherwise it would be big news just how much is going on. The market's changed significantly. Pedicures, you know, pedicures, but it's an art market now. And there's, I'm putting on nails and they're bedazzling them like crazy. It's kind of really exciting, but it's shifting like that.
Thank you, Brian.
I'm glad it was long.
Next up, I have Tina.
I don't have any comments.
You had the question more so later, which I want to be clear, we're happy to have that conversation, but that's not for today. So next I have Samantha. Same. Okay.
Question.
Next up is Joanna.
Any more questions?
Questions, okay. Morgan.
No. Thank you.
And Kaylee? Okay.
I mean, I can take one comment.
Okay.
So I'm an instructor, aesthetic instructor. I'm a physician out of the onus law. I guess my only comment would be that when the board is looking at who can teach these certifications, that there's a little more, more regiment than just the two teaching classes. I'm hoping the board will require, I'm an instructor. I don't know as you said that you have to kind of put your staff approval on someone, that you're unbacking someone who's going to teach it.
I'm hoping that's the case. I'm hoping the board will require someone at my office that said, I know, you know, I know them. I worked with her. I know she's lashing for many years. She's qualified. She's a beneficiary, but I'm going to back her up. Rather than you see so many people, I have a company, people teaching services, teaching microneedling, teaching eyelash extension, teaching chemical peel. And there's a difference between doing and teaching. And I don't know, and I've seen in the past, one of my years of educating, that there is a difference. And I hope that because we're only requiring 30 hours for the state board for this person to get the certification, there's a lot that goes into eyelash, not just the simple putting a lash on a lash. I've returned so many eyelashes from them going to places that they are taking the time and quality over care. So I would hope that when the certification process comes out, I'm sure you hear that, I want you one more to do the certification, but that it is required if there's a higher standard. Because we require so much from the petition and how the college, we give them 600 hours. We drilled over so much theory, so much adaptation, all about adaptation and client safety, your safety as a technician as well, that I really hope that there's going to be some type of just that higher standard that either an instructor maybe doesn't have to be present, but has to be aware of the curriculum and have to be basically, again, signed off on that person or be an instructor themselves. You get way too many people teaching eyelashes out there, out of their home, off the internet, or just because they own a salon and they've been doing lashes for a couple of years. I think we need to, I know what I have to do to become an instructor. I know what my students have to go through to become an esthetician. And I think if we just let anybody teach out there, we're not going to be putting out quality eyelash technicians. We're just going to be putting out people who want to make some money.
So I'm going to respond to that.
I would as well.
By saying we can't right now, and the reason we can't is that it is not in statute. In order for the board to issue a license or make a requirement of licensure, it has to be in statute. And the requirement for a licensed instructor is not a part of the statute for the eyelash technician registration. So our hands are tied at this point on that.
I would back that up.
Wait, could you clarify that being the district state, correct?
Yeah. This is not statute. This is regulation.
Okay.
So the legislation that was passed, in my personal opinion, this is not a board opinion. In my personal opinion, there was some oversight of what should have been included in that legislation that was not. So to Frank's point, our hands are tied on some stuff. What I would encourage you to do is if you Google who's the chair of the Arizona Regulatory Committee, find out who that representative is and let them know that you have concern that perhaps that would be included in a new bill in the next legislative session. And perhaps you could get a group of people, however you want to do that, right? That needs to go through that process, but that would be the only reason why it was not included.